The rest of you, it'd be helpful actually if you grab your Bible again and open it at James chapter 1, to page 246 of the New Testament section of the Bible. Great, and we'll just pray before we hear from God's word again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we just pray now, Lord, as we hear this message from James, may it be a word of encouragement to build us up. And we ask this in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. God is good. God is good. What is your response to that? Do you say amen? Yes, God is good. Is it amen when life is going really well, when things are good? Is it still amen when things are challenging? God is good. Are we able to say this in times of trial? To have faith to know that God is with us? You may have heard in January about the riots in Niger, an attack on Christians. On January the 16th, every church in one region was destroyed, all the church buildings. The next day in Zinda, the second city, another 55 churches were destroyed. In 48 hours, 72 churches destroyed, and the homes of 30 ministers destroyed. God is good. Well, the church leaders held a press conference, and in the press conference, they expressed their forgiveness for the attackers. And they said this: persecution is part of the life of a Christian. The attackers destroyed everything, but they couldn't take Jesus away from us. They couldn't take Jesus away from us. Two other situations, and if you're part of the Barnabas Fund, you'll have read about these situations in their prayer letter. Two other situations. Twen, a 32-year-old Christian, has been in prison since January 2005. She was arrested for attending a church prayer meeting. She was told if she signs an agreement saying that she won't take part in Christian activities, she'll be released instantly. What would you do? What would you pray? Or another situation, Rudiman, a minister in Indonesia where there's severe persecution, he received death threats. His congregation begged him to go into hiding, to lower his profile. What would you do? What would you pray? As we look at these situations, as we look at situations in our own lives, and I know there's a number in our congregation who are facing real times of trial and challenge, then do we know God is with us? Are we able to still say God is good? You see, this is part of the focus of chapter 1 in James. And just a bit of context to James. It was written to a group of Jewish house churches, and they were churches outside Palestine. And as a result of troubles, there was division and conflict had entered the churches. And partly they split into fighting factions. And some, as a result of that, had fallen into worldly lifestyles. And they were failing to put their faith into practice. They'd become double-minded, wavering between God and wavering between following the world. They claimed to have faith, they claimed to have the religious life, but there was a massive gap, a massive mismatch between what they were saying and what they were doing. And in chapter 2 that we'll look at in a few weeks' time, it says actually they were living their lives as if it was without God. In terms of its style, it reads a bit like extended proverbs, words of wisdom speaking to different situations. But it has one key message. There is a link between faith and how we live our lives. It is also quite blunt in its style. I don't know if any of you take the Daily Telegraph on Saturdays, but if you do, in the weekend section, there's a problem page once a fortnight. And of all people, it's Graham Norton who responds to the problems. And it's quite interesting, actually, when you read that problem page, because people write about their problems and other people in the situation. And what he often does, Graham Norton, is to flip what's taking place and to challenge the person who's writing and about how they view the situation. And in many ways, James here is saying not so much about the situation, but how we approach situations, and in particular, how we see God. And he says in times of trials, it's not so much about God and where he is, but it's about our faith. God is good. He's with us even in the midst of trials and difficulties. And in chapter 1, James deals with three different areas, and they all relate to how the believer sees God. Is God good? Do we trust him and live in the light of that? So he talks about persecution, times of trial, poverty and riches, and temptation. And due to the time limit, I'm just going to focus on verses 2 to 8 about times of trial. So please do listen to the sermon at 9:30 to hear more about the rest of the passage. Just as an aside, there's a big difference between times of trial and times of temptation. Basically, James says, in times of temptation, flee from them, get out of them, go to God. In times of trial, James says, actually, God might be calling you to endure this time of trial. So there's a big difference between times of trial that God will use in our lives and times of temptation that are nothing to do with God and we need to flee to him. So verse 2, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. If ever there was a danger of quoting a verse out of context, it would be this verse. James says that when trials come our way, to consider it to be joy. But as Sarah said in her talk, he doesn't say, be happy. To be happy is a temporary feeling. Most of us are happy that it's a bank holiday Monday tomorrow, so maybe we're not facing work. But that's a pretty temporary feeling. Joy is deeper. And joy, as we know, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can only have joy because God is at work in our lives, because his Spirit is at work. But when we read that verse, it seems illogical, doesn't it? It seems quite harsh. And I feel if I was writing to Twen in prison or Rudy Man in Indonesia and said, dear Twen, consider it pure joy as you face all kinds of trials, would it be insensitive? But if God is good, then we are able to say and experience this joy in the midst of trials. And when I first read this passage, I thought, well, what's the alternative? The alternative is doubt, despair, hopelessness, a sense that God isn't with us, and our faith evaporating. But how can we consider it joy? Well, James says that trials lead to mature faith. And if God is good, if he's our chief focus, then we want our faith to mature. We'll have a trial, a time of testing, and it leads to perseverance and maturity, a maturity of faith. But notice James acknowledges the reality for many of us that considering a trial joy is not our natural response. And so he says, if in the midst of a trial we're not able to know God with us and know that joy, ask God. Verse 5, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But James also says in verses 6 to 8, ask in faith. Even in the midst of trials, we know God is good, so we're able to ask him for wisdom in sure faith. I like the Message Bible paraphrasing of these verses. It says this, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. I like that bit, coming at you from all sides, because isn't that how it feels when we're facing times of challenge? So consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. So don't try to get anything out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Trials are not a test of God. God is with us constant. Trials are a test of our faith in God. When trials come, I know my natural response is to seek escape, to try and work a way through it, to try and seek a solution. Do I remember God is good and ask him for the wisdom to endure? There was a situation at work, there's been many situations at work, but a situation at work in the last 12 months that was incredibly challenging. And initially, I wanted to work out a solution. I wanted to get out of that situation. I wanted to pray for an instant solution. But then, by God's grace, I realized that actually, maybe what God wants me to pray is not so much that this situation will change, but that I will have the wisdom to get through it. And also discern what he wants to say to me through this time of trial. To hold on to the fact is God is good, as it emphasizes in verse 17. And his grace and purposes are at work, even in the midst of trials which we find ourselves. If you just cast your eye at verse 17. It says in verse 17, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of due to change. In times of trial, they're not a test of God. God is good. He gave his son for each one of us. He loves us so much, there was no limit to God's love for us. He's faithful. It's a test of our faith in God. Do we hold on in such times, even in dark times, seeing that glimmer of light at moments, knowing that God is with us and that we're growing through this time? So here today, some of us will be going through these real trials. This passage says, hold on, seek God, his wisdom. God is good, he's with you. Your trial is not without purpose or reason or fruit if you seek God. Philip Yancey, famous author many of us know, and he asked another person what the greatest defect of American Christians was. And this person says, they have an inadequate view of suffering. And then Philip Yancey said this, we will be helped by a more adequate study of James. His message is this, your trial is not a time to rejoice less. Your sickness is not the time to pray less. Your loss is not the time to love others less. Rather, now is the very time to practice the joy, peace, and love that we know theoretically to be the Christian life. For the Christian life is not mere theory, it is a life of the servant of God and the Lord Jesus of Christ. At this point, we have joy because we know God is with us and he's at work with us. He's close to us. So if in trials we're able to know and have faith that God is with us and his wisdom to see him at work, then God is able to work through those situations. And we're able to be reassured and built up in our faith. But what about Twen and Rudiman, the two people I mentioned earlier on? Well, Twen has refused to sign an agreement not to join in Christian activities. And actually, for a short period, she was very, very poorly, and the authorities sent her home. But as soon as she was well, she voluntarily went back to the authorities and is still in prison today, ministering to women. Rudiman's response to his congregation's encouragement to hide away from the authorities was that he told them to pray and to leave it to God. And he said this, if I ever tried to do this ministry in my own strength, I would have given up long ago. But the Lord is my joy and my strength. God doesn't want us to go through and face trials alone. God doesn't ask that of us. He's right with us in the midst of trials. But what he does ask of us is that in the dark days, when we feel that he's not there, that we look with the eyes of faith, we see the cross, and we see God right by our side, and we have the faith to know he's with us and to ask for his wisdom and grace to sustain us. I mentioned if I was to write to Twen or Rudiman, would I mention James 1, verse 2? Would it be harsh? Would it be unloving? But I think that they would be encouraged if I mentioned that in a letter, because they're living it. They're experiencing it as a reality, that God is good, and with his wisdom and grace, they're able to consider it a sheer gift when tests and challenges come at them from all sides. Their answer to that question, is God good, is a faith-filled and resounding Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love for us knows no bounds. We thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might know your love, your forgiveness, that we have your Holy Spirit to know you're with us. We pray for Twen and Rudiman. We thank you for their testimony of faith and pray that they would be encouraged this day. And Lord, we pray for any in our congregation who are facing times of trial. May they be encouraged and built up to know that you are with them. Grant them the wisdom and faith in this time of trial. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. One of the things we can do